In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Let the children come to me. So do you remember, last Sunday I introduced somebody to you. Do you remember who I introduced to you last Sunday?
God.
More specifically, who did I introduce to you last Sunday? And we talked about his name. His names. Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now do you remember what Jesus means? Do you remember what Jesus means? Was last Sunday. Do you remember what Jesus means? We'll get there. We'll get to Christ. Christ comes from Christos. What? But Jesus. So his name is Jesus and his nickname is Christ. Okay? So what does Jesus mean? Does anybody remember?
That was his name.
Yeah, that was his name. But what's the meaning of his name?
God is with him.
God saves. Jesus comes from Jesus. Jesus comes from Yahweh, from Yehoshua, which means God saves. So, once again, and I want you to remember this for the rest of your life. Okay? Jesus means what?
God
saves. What's the meaning of the name Christos or Christ in English? You remember? So Christ comes from the Greek name Christos, and the Greek name Christos comes from the Hebrew name Messiah, and Messiah means the anointed one. The anointed one. Christ means the anointed one, and that's why we are called Christians from Christ, because we are the anointed ones of God, to be like Christ, to be a healing presence, because oil heals. And who's in this icon? Our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you see next to his head?
There's a book in his hand.
There is a book in his hand. But what do you see here, next to his head, on both sides? Some letters. Do you know the meaning of those letters? Jesus Christ. Those letters stand for the first, like IC stands for the first and the last letters of the name Jesus in Greek. You know that the New Testament was written in Greek because Greek was the international language of the time, like English nowadays. So many people nowadays speak English. In the time of Jesus, Greek was like English today. Lots of people knew Greek in those times. That's why the four evangelists and then the apostles wrote their gospels and their letters in Greek, because a lot of people knew Greek in those times. That's why in the icons, we still have the inscriptions, those letters, in Greek. So, I in Greek is I, like in English, but S is like a C. That's why we have like that I and C. The first and the last letters of the name Jesus. You copy?
Father, I have a question. What is the X?
We'll get there. So, on the other side, we have the letters like XC. The X in the Greek alphabet is H, Christos. The X is H and is the first letter of the name Christos. And C, again, in Greek, we said that C makes the sound S, Christos. The first and the last letters of the name Christos. So that's why in the icons we have those letters. Jesus Christos. Did you notice that when I bless you. Do you think that it is I who blesses you in the Holy Liturgy? Or when you come, you know, for a blessing, like when I blessed, you know, Kate after reading the epistle? Do you think that it was I who blessed her?
No.
But who?
Jesus.
That's why I hold my fingers like this. You see? I see, X see. It is Jesus Christ who blesses, not me. If it was me, I would hold it like this. Why? See, Father, it was me. I don't hold my finger like this. If you see me holding my finger like this and blessing you, call the bishop. Okay? I hold my fingers like this when I bless you, and because it is not I who blesses you, but this is our Lord, or I should say, you know, when I give the blessing. When I give the blessing, I give the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not I who blesses you, but our Lord Jesus Christ, I see, X see. Okay? Jesus Christ blesses you through my hand, but it is not my blessing. Jesus Christ blesses you. Once again, what's the meaning of the name Jesus? God saves. And by the way, Elizabeth, where are you, Elizabeth? Elizabeth, yes. I looked it up, and Elizabeth, or Elizabeth, means the promise of God, the oath of God. Okay? So that's the meaning of the name Elizabeth, or Elizabeth. So, the meaning of the name Jesus is? God saves. The meaning of the name Christ? The anointed one, the Messiah, the one who was anointed by God, who was appointed and anointed by God to be the Savior of the world. And the letters in the icons, IC and XC, stand for?
That's Jesus.
Jesus and?
Christos.
Christos. The first and the last letters of the names Jesus and Christos. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Christ is among us.
He is among us.
Beloved faithful, in today's gospel, we see our Lord Jesus Christ giving a parable about His relationship, about God's relationship with humanity, and more specifically, with His chosen people. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells His disciples that God gave His kingdom. He wanted to have a very special relationship with His chosen nation of the Jews. But what the Jews did to the prophets? So God planted a vineyard, and then He sent the prophets to get the fruit of the vineyard. But those who were called to work in the vineyard, those who were called to give the fruit of the vineyard, killed the prophets who came to take the fruit of the vineyard. And when our Lord Jesus Christ Himself came, when the Son of God came, they even killed Him. Now, we should ask ourselves this question today. Are we in that situation? Are we in the situation of trying to kill the messengers of God when God sends messengers to us and God wants to have a special relationship with us? Do we kill God's messengers? I think that sometimes we do. Sometimes, you know, like the Jews, we think, oh, we are part of a very special nation. I'm an Orthodox Christian. I'm a Greek Orthodox. I'm saved. I was baptized in the Orthodox Church. I was chrismated in the Orthodox Church. I got married in the Church. If I even get a beautiful funeral, for sure, I'll be saved. I'm here to tell you the truth. If we think like that, we are deceiving ourselves. Our relationship with God is a lot more than that. The fact that we were baptized and chrismated in the Orthodox Church won't save us. That's the vineyard that God planted into us. That's the vineyard that God gave to us. But He wants us to work together with Him. And He wants us to bear fruit, to be the anointed ones, to be His anointed one, anointed ones in this world, and to give the fruit in due season. He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. He wants us to give a personal answer. Even going to church or coming to church every Sunday morning is not enough. The most common comparison of the relationship between God and humanity in the Bible is the relationship of marriage. Some people even believe, and you know, I don't want to upset anybody today, but I'm here to speak the truth in love. And I'm here to guide you towards God. That's my role. That's my role, to bring you closer and closer to God until we become one among us and one with God. And sometimes we compare ourselves with the people around us. That's a big mistake. According to the Lord, that's a big mistake and a big temptation. The Pharisee used to do that. You know, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this publican. I go to church every Sunday. I pray sometimes. I'm much better than the people around me. Let us not compare ourselves with the people who don't have a relationship with God. God wants us to have a special relationship with Him. That's why I'm telling you, let us not compare ourselves with those who have no relationship with God. God knows, in fact, what relationship everybody has with Him. We don't know. What we know is that according to the Bible, the relationship that God wants to have with us is the relationship of marriage. That's the most common comparison of the relationship between God and humanity in the Bible. The relationship of marriage. Now, those of us who are blessed with a beautiful marriage, and those of us who are not so blessed with a beautiful marriage, know what a good marriage is about. A good marriage is about relationship. If a husband and a wife talk to each other only for 1 hour on Sunday morning, is that a good relationship?
No.
Is that a joyful marriage?
No.
If they ignore each other for the rest of the week, but for 1 hour on Sunday morning, they pretend to talk to each other. Is that a beautiful, joyful, meaningful marriage?
No.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Is this the kind of relationship that we want to have with God?
No.
If we want to have a beautiful relationship with the lover of mankind, if we want to have a beautiful relationship, if we want to become one with the one who gave His life for us, if we want to be a beautiful, loving bride who loves the bridegroom who gave His life for the beautiful bride, then we have a daily loving relationship with our bridegroom. We talk to Him every day. We have Him always in our mind, in our heart. And everything that we do it for Him. Like in that beautiful song, I think it's Celine Dion. Everything I do it for you. That's what a loving relationship is about. Everything I do it for you. And by the way, that's from the Bible. That's from St. Paul, who said, you know, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. At work, in school, at home, wherever we are called to give glory to God. We are called in everything that we do to do it in His name. And by doing that, we offer our whole life, as we say in the Holy Liturgy so many times, let us offer ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God. Beloved faithful, I'm here to guide you. September 1st is in the Orthodox Church the beginning of the year. In the Orthodox Church, we still follow the Jewish tradition. We still follow the biblical tradition. And in the Jewish biblical tradition, the beginning of the year was on September 1st. Because according to a very old Jewish tradition, God started creating the world on September 1st. We don't know that for sure. But what we know the meaning of this day. On September 1st, we celebrate the creation of the world. That's why in the Orthodox Church, and that's why especially in the Patriarchate of Constantinople, that's the day of creation. That's why, by the way, why on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. we'll get together, I think it's at 7. Anyway, we'll check the bulletin. On Tuesday evening, we'll get together at St. Andrew's Orthodox Church here in Lexington to pray with the Akathist in praise of God's creation. It is a beautiful prayer. And by the way, you know how God works. This was suggested by a Roman Catholic lady. Yes. You know, when I attended a ministerial association, it was suggested by a Roman Catholic lady, don't you want to have a prayer in an Orthodox church on September 1st because it is the beginning of the year in the Orthodox Church? I said, how beautiful. Let's have the Akathist in praise of God's creation. Anyway, what I wanted to tell you today is that this September 1st is the renewal of the world. On this September 1st, we celebrate the creation of the world, and I would really like to start in this parish now in September a spiritual renewal. I am here to guide you towards God and together to work on us, and I include myself, to experience a spiritual renewal and to make our relationship with God a very personal relationship, a very beautiful and joyful relationship, so that at His second coming, as St. Paul says in today's epistle reading, Lord, come at His second coming to be part of the New Jerusalem, to be part of the beautiful bride who welcomes the Lord and becomes one with the Lord forever. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.